Mother's Day is the third highest attendance Sunday in the church year, behind Easter and Christmas. And it's also one of the most painful Sundays of the year. I was in a pastoral staff meeting 2 weeks ago, and we were talking about what we are going to do for Mother's Day and how we should honor mothers on this particular Sunday. Ideas were thrown around. Should we pass out flowers? Should we pray? Should we have mothers stand up? How can we be sensitive to situations that are a little more complicated than the typical mother? Then I made the mistake of speaking up and said, well, I don't really like Mother's Day, to be honest. And if I didn't work in a church, that would probably be one Sunday that I didn't attend. And somehow that led me to speaking this morning. I'm not sure if they thought I wouldn't show up otherwise or what, but I did say, however, at least one positive thing is that we would be out early enough to beat the lunch crowds, which is positive because mothers, I'm trying to slow down. Mother's Day is the busiest day for restaurants as well, so hopefully we'll get you out a little bit earlier and you can go celebrate your mother. Today is going to be a little different despite what I told Pastor Dan on Wednesday or Thursday. This is not going to be a normal sermon, nor am I talking about 1 Samuel 1. I want to share more with you some of my personal experiences, maybe give you a broader understanding of the many different stages of motherhood that there really are. But I need you to hang in there with me, because at first it may seem like I'm downplaying mothers, or trying to make them feel guilty for being mothers, or even make mothers feel unappreciated, the complete opposite of what a Mother's Day sermon is supposed to do. And that's not the case. We are here to celebrate moms, but we are also here to be the church, and that's a bit messier and a little more complicated. So just hang in there with me, and hopefully by the end, you will understand where I was trying to go. I said I don't really like Mother's Day, and in my case, it has nothing to do with my mother. My mom is great. I sent her a present and a card, and if she wasn't out of the country, I would call her today. And speaking of which, my parents are actually in the Philippines interviewing Children of Promise children, and I was messaging with my dad this morning, and he said that they actually interviewed one of the kids that Fairview sponsors. And so he said that he would try to send some pictures and a video once they got back into the States of that interview of one of our kids. Anyways, I love celebrating my mom, and I'm glad that we have a day that I can do that. So my issue with Mother's Day isn't mothers. My issue is I'm a 36-year-old single woman with no kids. I waver between wanting kids of my own and not wanting kids, but the fact of the matter is that I'm getting pretty close to biologically not being able to have children, and attending church on Mother's Day is just awkward for me. I don't really fit in. In my experience that has been that of a woman, there's an immense pressure to have children, that my life is not yet complete or full because I do not have any, and it seems that the church and the Bible support this line of thinking. I read an article the other day that had this quote: one of the greatest enemies of the church has not only been a profound lack of caring for the unchurched, but a profound lack of procreation among the churched. According to this gentleman, I'm an enemy of the church. Another article states, Christians on average have bigger families because we believe that children are gifts from God, good things in themselves, and because we believe that God intended our good when he said, be fruitful and multiply. The fact that large families have unexpected but positive consequences for our values and culture is a reminder that in all of life, obeying God's command is always the best strategy. So now I'm not obeying God's commands. Here are some things that women without kids have heard. I've heard some of them multiple times, most of the time from well-intentioned Christians and friends. Now that I have children, my life has meaning. You're a crazy cat lady in training. You think you're tired? You don't know what tired is. You'll change your mind when you meet the right man. You're being selfish. What are you waiting for? You're missing out on one of the best things in life. Wait until your biological clock kicks in. What's wrong with you? Don't wait too long. You don't have children, so you wouldn't understand. You don't know what real love is. Who will take care of you when you're old? You don't want them, or you just can't have them. That's what we were put on earth to do, have children and love them. What else do you want from love if you don't have that? Or what else do you want from life if you don't have that? There's no really good response to any of those statements. But let's keep going. Since this is in church, we should probably see what the Bible has to say. Psalm 127, 3-5 says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is a man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Babies are a reward. Blessed is the man who has a lot of them. Your enemies will be put to shame. Titus 2:4, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children. Not train them to learn, study, or even be good Christians, but teach them how to love their husbands and children. Psalm 113:9, he gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord. A woman without kids only has a home when she is a mother. Genesis 1:28, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Adam's and Eve's instructions, have babies. Proverbs 30:16, Sheol, the barren woman, the land never satisfied with water, and the fire that never says enough. Here, the one without kids is compared to Sheol, or Hades, in other words. Genesis 9:1, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Again, God's commandments for Noah, have babies. Proverbs 31:28, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. A woman is called blessed by her children and praised by her husband. And then there's Timothy, who honestly, that I'm sure that every female woman that has worked in a church wants to talk to Timothy when they get to heaven, because single-handedly, he has made life of many a woman much more difficult. 1 Timothy 5:14, so I would have younger widows marry, bear children, manage their households, and give the adversary no occasion for slander. A woman can stay out of trouble if she marries, has children, and does housework. And then here's the big one, 1 Timothy 2:11-15. Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. Yet she will be saved through childbearing, if they continue in faith, in love, in holiness, with self-control. Really, Timothy? I know I would like to have a conversation with that man. Women should learn quietly. Do not have any right to teach any man. Eve was the sinner. Notice it wasn't Adam, it was Eve. Women will be saved through childbearing, not a relationship with God. Now, hopefully you can see that I had cherry-picked these verses for a reason. And there are plenty of other places in the Bible to give a much broader view of women. In fact, Paul says it's better for one to stay single than it is to get married and have kids. Some of the greatest leaders of the first church were women. And Jesus himself stayed single and didn't have kids. As for these last few verses in 1 Timothy, there's a lot more to them than just what meets the eye. And if you have questions, come talk to me, because I would love to dissect this passage of scripture. I've had numerous debates over it. But the reason I read those specific verses is because they are the ones that are often read and spoken of when regarding mothers, having children, or women in general. And as I read or hear these verses, according to them, I have yet to fulfill my God-given purpose in this life. So have I wasted my last 36 years? Am I going to waste my next 36 years if I don't have kids? Is my entire life pointless? To some, those are valid questions. To some, they are absolutely ridiculous questions. For me, they are questions that I have and will continue to wrestle with. Let's switch directions a little bit and talk about some biblical moms. I was actually surprised in looking through all of the different types of moms that there are, how many different types there actually are in the Bible. I'm not sure that there really is what we would think of as a typical family anywhere in the Bible. The most famous mother, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was an unwed teenager when she got pregnant. And her story was that God got her pregnant. I mean, we hear that and we don't think twice because we've heard it so many times. But I'm pretty sure that I'm pregnant but didn't have sex theory wasn't incredibly believable for a lot of people. Mary is also often seen as a perfect mother, but she made mistakes too. She lost Jesus, and it was 3 days before she found him. I mean, you may have forgotten to pick up your child, but I doubt that any of you have lost your child for days at a time. So you have one up on Mary, the mother of God. Eve, the first mother. Can you imagine getting pregnant and having absolutely no idea what was happening or was going to happen? Mothers today feel unprepared for children, and there are thousands of resources available. Eve didn't have any resources. Is this supposed to be happening? Did she even know she was pregnant? Or all of a sudden there was something moving in her belly? This baby, did she even know what a human baby was? Comes out? Now what is she supposed to do? Then Eve's firstborn son killed her secondborn son. Eve not only lost a son to murder, it was her son who killed him. She lost two sons that day. As an estimate, according to both biblical and non-biblical sources, Eve probably had at least 50 kids. 2.4 is the average in the U.S., and that is often overwhelming. Imagine 50. And both Adam and Eve didn't have moms, so Mother's Day would have definitely been awkward for them, too. There's Sarah, whose husband was promised as many descendants as the stars, and yet she had to wait 25 more years to see that actually come true. Hagar, who was forced to become a wife and a mother, only to be abused by her husband's first wife, she takes her son and runs away, and then God tells her to go back. Only several years later, she is forced back out into the wilderness, where she believed her and her son were going to die. Rebecca had a favorite child and deceived both her husband and her older son to ensure that Jacob received the blessing. She also lost both of her children that day. Her youngest was forced to flee, and I can't imagine that Esau was too happy with his mom after that incident. Jochebed placed her son in a basket in a river to save him from being killed, with no assurances that sending him in the river was going to end well. She was able to see Moses saved, but then had to live with the knowledge her son was going to live in the very palace that had condemned him to die. Then there was Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted Moses, a child her father had ordered dead. She raises him, only to have him run away from home. Gomer was a prostitute. Dorcas was a single woman whose work was so important that she was raised back to life after she died. Samson's mother, who is not given a name, or not named in the Bible, had to watch her son make bad decision after bad decision, more than likely not listening to her advice in regard to the women that he married. Bathsheba was forced into a relationship with King David, not only saw her husband die, but saw her infant child die due to nothing that she had any control over. Lot's wife, who was also not named, cared more about possessions and the life that she was leaving behind than her own family, and she left her two daughters without a mother. Hannah was ridiculed for not being able to have children. She would spend hours praying for a child in so much agony that people actually thought she was drunk. Deborah is the epitome of a working mother. She was a prophetess, judge, general, and mom. Leah, whose husband really wanted to marry her sister, but was tricked into marrying her first, was a mother of many children in order to make up for the fact that she was unloved by her husband. Naomi was a widow who saw two of her sons die as well, and she then became in charge of one of her daughter-in-laws. We could go on and on, but I share these women with you in hopes that you see a broader picture of motherhood that's in the Bible, and that whatever stage of motherhood you find yourself in today, that you can be encouraged because there is an example. I want to spend some time this morning praying for the different types of women and mothers that are in our midst this morning and around the world. I'm not necessarily going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes because this is rather a long prayer, but instead that you join me in an attitude of prayer as we approach the throne. Lord God, a day set aside to honor and celebrate mothers. There are many we want to lift up to you. We pray for those who are moms today. May they feel loved, honored, and supported. May their children rise up and call them blessed. We pray for those who desire to be mothers. May you draw near to them and help them draw near to you as they wait and hope. We pray for those that have never had a mother. May they be supported by spiritual mothers that will help fill that void. For those who are feeling overwhelmed and like a bad mom, may they feel seen and not expected to fulfill others' expectations of mothering as their own. Help them to know that you work through our weaknesses and can make something good out of even the messiest situations. We pray for those women who are struggling with infertility, that their wait may be short and their longing satisfied. May they be surrounded by those who can offer true encouragement. We pray for those women who are single. Help them enjoy this time in their lives and to seek your will for their future. For those who are widowed, help them overcome any loneliness or uncertainty and learn to lean on you. For moms who have lost a child, may their motherhood be honored even when it is not seen. May their mourning be comforted. We pray for those that have lost their moms. May they feel the freedom to mourn their loss while remembering the good, the bad, and the missed opportunities. May they be surrounded with people who understand. Women who have had an abortion, please bring healing, comfort, restoration, and peace. For moms who have given up their children for adoption, bless them for the decision to have their child, peace of mind and heart for any hurt or feeling of loss they may feel. We pray for moms who are waiting for adoption. May they feel peace in the process of paperwork, legal tape, and finances. May their wait be short, and may they welcome their child home soon. For those who are adoptive moms, may you feel as real and as true as a mom as if your child were of your blood. You have made a difference in the world. For those who are foster moms, they probably have one of the toughest jobs, raising kids taken from bad situations only to give them back up again. The door is constantly revolving. May their hearts be filled and know the eternal difference that they are making. For those single dads, we pray for them as they act as both mother and father. May they be filled with wisdom, guidance, and know that their child is benefiting from and growing up in love because of their role. For those estranged from their mothers through family division, mental illness, or strife, God, please heal their wounds. For those estranged from their children, may you heal wounds, restore relationships, and bring peace. We pray for those who are losing their mother by degrees through disease. May they have extra grace as they now see their roles reversed. For those whose children work, live, or are serving far away, may their hearts be at peace and may God keep their children safe. We pray for those whose children have chosen a prodigal path. Give them grace as they wait for their children to return home. For those moms who have teenagers and are wondering where their little baby went, may they have patience and understanding for this part of the journey. For those who have chosen not to be moms, may they feel respected in their decision and not treated as less than. May they feel honored as a woman. For those moms who are pregnant, watch over them as they expectantly await the birth of their child. May they have confidence and strength and dispel any anxieties or fear they may have. We pray for single moms. Increase their finances so they can afford food, clothing, and shelter. Help the time they are able to spend with their children to be fruitful and full of love. For those who have suffered a miscarriage, may they have the space and the persons to grieve with. God, comfort them in their disappointment and loss. God, we pray for mom and children who have not had positive relationships in the past. May they move forward with forgiveness, mercy, and love. We pray for those women who have children who are missing. May they be filled with peace and hope. Lord, keep the children safe and return them home quickly. We pray for the moms who have children taken away. May they have courage, hope, forgiveness, and strength as they work to regain custody of their children. For moms with special needs children, may you know that God chose you purposefully for this role, and may he guide, direct, and provide patience and help when needed. For those with children who are ill, may God give you strength, hope, rest, and peace as you work through the many appointments, costs, and juggling of your roles. We pray for those who were only able to be moms for a short time. God, wrap your arms around them, provide comfort and love. Help them grieve and mourn, and put the right people into their lives at the right time. For the stay-at-home moms, whose to-do list is endless, may they feel enough and accomplished even when the house is dirty and the laundry is undone. May they get the sleep that they need and the adult time that they need. We pray for those moms who work outside of the home, that they may feel enough and accomplished while trying to balance multiple roles. May their time with their children be fulfilling. For the mothers of babies, we pray for sleep and rest. For the mothers of toddlers, we pray for quiet, rest, and patience. For those mothers who are experiencing the empty nest, may they find reward and fulfillment in this next stage of life. May their heart be full. We pray for those who have strained relationships with their mothers. May you feel the freedom to be honest about your relationship. May the memories of the good outweigh the bad. We pray for those who have strained relationships with their children. May they feel honored even if the honor does not come from their children. For those with good mother relationships, may they treasure the time and the relationship they have, the hard work and the tears it's taken to keep that relationship good, and the joy that Mother's Day brings. For all the little girls who are playing mommy with their dolls, may you watch over them, guide them, and make all their dreams come true. For those who have moved out of the mothering role into the grandmothering role, may you enjoy this stage of life, spoiling your grandchildren and enjoying the space and freedom this role offers. We pray for those grandmas who are now mothers to their grandchildren. May you receive the encouragement, help, and rest that you need. For women with unexpected pregnancies, may you work through the uncertainty and anxiety, knowing that God has a plan for you and your child, and his plans are always better than ours. God, I know that I have forgotten or missed some of the mothers who are out there. God, grant them a sense of fulfillment, honor, and love specifically today. And God, most of all, we thank you. Though we call you Father, you embody a mother's steadfast and relentless love. Thank you for your gift of motherly love that is both gentle and fierce, strong and humble, kind and true. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. As you continue throughout today, as you celebrate your mothers, we recognize just how singular and significant their roles are. But we also want to honor the women who aren't mothers by recognizing that a woman doesn't have to be a mother to contribute meaningfully to the world. I've always hated doing conclusions on papers, sermons, saying goodbye on the telephone, ending youth. Well, that's a little bit easier because they just like to run out the door. So I struggled with how I wanted to close today. So we're actually just going to close by watching a video that will hopefully make you smile and have you appreciate just how wonderful mothers really are.